or in only one aspect, as I give the example for the color. And there also we have the problem in composition, to try that not one group, which is for example weaker in intensity, or which is brighter in color, becomes less important than another one, which is very loud, which is for example in a very very strong register, and with a very strong color like trumpets. So there we have to compose an equality, like in the point form. And if you want, now we give an example of groups for three orchestras, which I composed in 1955 and finished in 1957, where just this compositional problem of composing different groups, as in all the other higher organisms of nature we know, and in the same time to compose equality for the different groups, which is one of the main thoughts of contemporary music. So we play groups for three orchestras from 1955-57. That was an excerpt from the Gruppen for three orchestras of Karlheinz Stockhausen, used as an illustration of group form. Now, as I understand, Karlheinz, the group form that you're talking about is, in a sense, an extension of the pointillist idea, in that the group, as you call it, the collection of pitches or intensities or tone colors, is treated in a way, in a parallel way, to the way the individual pitch or the individual intensity was treated in what you call the pointillist form. So that, in a sense, one is an outgrowth of the other. Would you say that's correct?
That's correct. And the individual sound, then, as the group, was number one.
Mm.
And that's what I want to mediate now between the highly isolated sound, then the sounds in groups, where we come across all the different kinds of what we call Gestalten, figures, or very clear, composed shapes, going towards the masses, or towards crowds of sounds which we cannot analyze anymore in their numbers, in their inner in their inner texture
and content.
Yeah. Yes, but we only listen to them as to, again, unified musical events, and we get the impression of a certain pattern of such crowds or masses of sounds.
This is somewhat analogous in a more complex way to what Henry Cowell called clusters, in a sense. It's a more complex development of that idea.
Yes, but what I would call a complex, for example, it can last for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
One complex.
I see. A complex of sounds would be a very good word to use.
A complex, yes, I have this word.
Uh-huh.
I have point, group, complex.
Right.
And I call these forms statistical forms. I give only three examples now, naturally, for point form, group form, statistic form. But in between the densest mass, the longest mass, or what we would call a pure structure, and the most individual sounds, there we can imagine now a scale with as many degrees as we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same fact in nature. If I look at a tree, I first see the shape of a tree. It's one. I have one word. Even I can say a very special tree, a pine tree. If I go towards it, if I approach it, then all of a sudden I lose the shape and I see many leaves, many branches, and it becomes a mass. It becomes a mass of many repetitions, and the differentiations are not so important as would be a differentiation of the shape when I saw it as a whole. Then, if I go closer to it again, I come to an individual leaf. And I see again one figure, one form.
Mm.
It's like a group of the little tiny wrists, or how do you call them, inside of a leaf.
The veins.
The veins, that's right.
Mm.
I can count them again, and it's like one individual thing. And if I go closer in it, if I would take a microscopic looking glass, then again it becomes a mass. A complex. And always my perspective is changing of looking at things. And that's exactly what we do in music now. We compose the perspective. And we have not only one perspective of listening to music. And I think that this statistic aspect of music is very important. It makes understand many, many things in nature and even in our human relationship. I am, at the same time, a very isolated man, individual. At the same time, I am in a certain group, like in a family, or in a certain group of people who think the same thing. We are connected by common characteristics. And at the same time, I am a number, as a citizen of Cologne, or of Western Germany, or as a man who is tested as one number in a whole society. And this is very important now in a musical form, that we don't replace one aspect, the classical one, by another one, which is to say a point by a complex, or a group by a complex. So so that we say now everything has a mass aspect. But the contrary is important, that in the same musical form there are moments where we hear very isolated sounds and we can recognize the very precise intervals between them, all the relationships between individual sounds. Then we come to other moments where there are groups which we can analyze very well, and we listen to shapes which are very clear. And then in other moments we hear just shapes which have densities, directions, average directions, which have average speeds, average color, and so on.
So that this is what you have called the statistical form. Basically is something which subsumes the other forms that you've talked about.
Yes.
In other words, they are more or less special cases. The pointillist form, a group form, would be special cases within a larger concept that you call statistical form.
Exactly.
Which is a scale which goes from the pointillist, from the atomized individual element,
yes,
to...
And in this moment, that's right, in this moment when we have the continuum concept, between the isolated element and the crowd or the complex, then we can mediate what is always one aim I like very much, not to let the extremes in opposition, but to show that one thing can become the other, or that one thing in the world incorporates everything, if I think it in a continuum of transformation, of constant transformation. And in that moment, the complex is the most crowded composition of individual elements, or an element is the most transparent crowd. You see what I mean with the continuum.
Right.
Let's give for that an example, it's better.
Sorry.
And I would say the best example would be the end of Song of Songs, which I composed in 1956, or the German title is Gesang der Jünglinge. It is a composition with electronic sounds together with sounds recorded, and these recorded sounds are sung by a young boy of 13 years. And the few words which are understandable are from the Song of Songs. And in this part of Song of Songs, you hear that sometimes a single syllable or a very clear sound or an interval is coming out of complexes of sound which have only an average a tendency, which have a shape, and you hear thousands of sounds in a very short time, like a method. And as a mediation between such different aspects, there are all kinds of groups of sounds which you can clearly hear, like short melodies, or like chords, where you can analyze the chords as a number, distinguished number of sounds. Let's hear this end of Song of Songs from 1956.
Thank you.
Final portion of the Gesang der Jünglinge, a work, an electronic work for electronic sounds and recorded boy's voice by Karlheinz Stockhausen, used as an example of what Karlheinz Stockhausen called statistical form. Karlheinz, I was interested in your attitude towards the whole question of irrational forms, or the whole breakdown of a form in certain works, particularly of American composers, and the introduction of irrational elements into music, and the whole concept that has been developed the use of random elements and chance structures. What is your attitude towards this development in the light of what you've been saying?
It's true that I am speaking much about form in a historical moment where form seems to disappear in music, as it is effect in painting and other fields. But I think that what I call form is not an ensemble of schemes, like we had the classical schemes of sonata or fugue or variation form or suite form and so on. But I'm speaking about ways of forming more than about specific forms. And if I say pointillistic form or group form or statistic form, I don't mean a special form as a scheme, but a way of forming, a way of composing sounds in very specific manners.
That form is probably a bad word, in the sense that it's a word that comes laden with all these historical connotations.
I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so because I insist on the word form, on the contrary, because there is no better one you could tell me, or the composers who deny form could tell me. To deny something is still very much related to what it is denied. And I feel very strongly that all the people who are revolting against the form are just more in it than if you try to get to a point where the form explodes, if you go to its limits inside of the form. And that has been always my attitude, not to come towards irrational things by searching for them, but
to go to the limits of rationality, to think as strong as a musician with my musical brain as I can, to come to the limits where I really see here is a border for me in this moment where I can think further, and there only can begin the irrational. I mean, if you call for the mirror, if you call for the miracle, it will never come. And we say in Europe since a long time that the real revolutions come with pigeon feet. Therefore, I like to speak about things which are very clear, and nobody can answer me the question which is the only important question and which can never be answered, as I think that's the why. Why to do something? And this is an open question which will remain open, but not the how. The how is always, as I think, to be thought through. And therefore I think the informal tendency is just what I would call statistic form in music. They get the results which I describe as statistical forms, where are no specific shapes, no breaks, and where is no tendency for any higher organism, but just for a complete nivellation of events, because everything becomes the same if there is no degree of organization, different levels of organization.
Well then, what you're talking about, what you want, is control of these levels, even a control of these levels, even where they extend beyond what one would call the rational, defined, precise element of composition as we know it from the past.
It's not the control of the result, but it's the control of my own work.
Uh-huh.
You know that I wrote a lot of compositions where instead of a point, we come to a field. And this would be now what we have to discuss, what I call a variable form. What I control is the more or less controlled situation. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean now?
Yeah.
I can very precisely control a non-controlled situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or a control which has, as the mathematicians say, more or less freedom, degrees of freedom. And in a very variable situation, where I cannot and I don't want to foresee the sound result, I can have control just this fact.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the limits in which, inside of which things can happen. And I can make this field more or less large.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give an example for this. In 1955, I composed Zeitmesse, and in 54 I had composed piano pieces. In the piano pieces, all of a sudden, processes of composition were introduced, which gave more or less variability to the sound result, because they were written for performers, and I used the condition of a performer, for example, to play a mass of sounds as fast as possible. The conditions which I cannot measure in a classical determinant of playing it, for example, as fast as possible, or as slow as possible, or making an accelerando from very slow to as fast as possible, and vice versa, ritardando from as fast as possible to slowing down, for example, four times slower. Or there was another kind of composing sounds, not by describing the characteristics of this acoustical aspect of sound, as we did in our classical description, but to describe the way of producing the sound. For example, push the pedal immediately after the attack, and then wait until the sound clarifies the color, and then go on. Then the sound, in different registers, needs its own time to develop or to come to a certain intensity in its decay of intensities, and so on. I give an example from Sight Master. It's written for five woodwind instruments, and the example I give starts where with a part where all the instruments play shortly, all together in chords. This fact suggests that it only can be measured classically in measures and in a very very precise time, because they are synchronous. There is no individual possibility of the instrument. They have to do all the same thing, and this can only be done by deterministic control. Shortly after this moment, all the instruments go in a kind of chaotic situation. One instrument, the oboe, plays as fast as possible. Another instrument plays as slow as possible. That's to say, the instrumentalist has to play a crowd of sounds with one breath. Or another one plays ritardando, starting with a distinguished speed, another one an accelerando. And after about half a minute of going everyone his own way in time, we listen to a superposition of different speeds. They all come together again in a very measured situation. You hear first a very distinguished individual sound. The color changes with directions from lower to higher. And this must be controlled. It's not just a chaotic situation, more or less chaotic. If I say chaotic, it's only a degree of variability. That's exactly what I mean with variable form. And what we call normally chaos is only a certain degree of order. There is nothing which has another degree of order. And to continue this part, then again they come into moments where they play together at 2, 3, 4, or all five in chords. And this again can only be measured very precisely. Then again they go off, two go off, and three others stay in the same synchronous tempo. So we have very different degrees of individual time of variability. And this demands a completely different technique of composing. Because when, up to now, we controlled everything vertically, in harmony, what happens in pitch? All of a sudden, one instrument can be in delay, or another one can be in front of another one, according to what is written on the paper. And I have to know this as a composer, that in given limits, the field of changing the vertical relationships can be more or less large. And I have to take this in consideration, that no harmonical relationships appear which I want to avoid in a certain context. And I call this now the method of variable composition, according to the variability of a musician, or even in electronic music, this plays an important role when I work with variable processes. For example, running different tape machines at the same time, deciding only the starting point, but then changing the speed in the meantime of the different layers, and taking the whole result as a variable form, I could say. Because when I make the same process again, it changes, it varies. Now let's take an example from Sight Master. We could say in English, as a translation of the title, Time Measures, is that right?
I think that would be.
Which I wrote in 1955-56 as one aspect of variable form.
That was an excerpt from Karlheinz Stockhausen's Zeitmesse. Sections of the piece would vary from performance to performance and from player to player.
And what is important is not only the knowing that if I come back tomorrow and listen to the same piece, that it will vary according to the variability of the performers, which is suggested by the composition itself, but that at the moment when I am listening to one performance, I am aware of different degrees of indeterminacy, of variability. As I described, at one moment I feel very strongly this only can be controlled in a deterministic way, in a classical way, and this is more or less without a direction, or we said more or less chaotic in its sound aspect, and we would call this different degrees of variability.
In a way, a recording is a little bit deceiving in this sense, isn't it? It presents certain problems. A recording of a work like this.
No, I would say
you wouldn't feel that. Well, to listen to the same recording of the piece several times,
it doesn't matter. You feel the different degrees of variability, and that's what is important for me. It's not to give one aspect today and another one tomorrow. I mean, I don't deal with the fact that we want to become nature again, where a tree is changing according to the light of sun. And this only is valid, and the other things which we have thought through and which are on paper are no longer valid. I think that's ridiculous. What is important is to enlarge our classical concept of the world and to show that we work now with a whole scale of variability and have not only the one-minded aspect of the world where everything is determined up to its latest point, and that we can determine everything till the end of the world, which was really a thinking of a deterministic development in Europe and in the Western world in a whole, and which now I hope is disappearing more and more, that we have to enlarge this kind of thinking, including the whole scale of variability, and therefore we come now to the next, what I call the next form, in which points or groups or complexes can be composed. That's what I would call, now I have some trouble with the word.
What is it in German?
In German we have vieldeutige Form. I think in English we could call it ambiguous form,
no,
or
multifaceted or multi-meaning.
Good.
It would be literally multi-meaning.
That's good.
Form.
I mean by that a musical context can not only vary at a certain moment inside of a field, so that one sound can come a bit later or earlier, a bit higher or lower, a bit softer or louder. But that whole groups of sounds, or complexes of sounds, or whole ensembles of individual elements can be interpolated. And so the musical aspect is far away from what we always imagined as a preconceived musical form, or as a music which has been imagined before in the head of the composer and then only been written down according to what he listened to inside of himself, what we thought always would be the only valid way of composing music. But we go towards a music where we discover the musical result as something which has been prepared by a score in a multi-meaning result. It's only one aspect of what is described in the score, and the composer has not given one solution for a question, but many possible solutions for the same question at the same moment in the musical form. Mm. Up to now, we only thought that a composer, at a certain given moment, only finds the best solution, which is then valid forever, and he avoids all the other possibilities which he had in mind when he was composing. But I was aware of the fact that the further I went into my own composition, the more I came to musical events where I had different solutions for the same moment, for the same question. When I was at a certain event and I asked myself how to go on now, I found different solutions which were equal. And what I just did was to write them all down. And then the whole notation changed. Instead of writing only one and giving the impression that I am thinking in a very deterministic way, going from one point to a final point and having only one thing in mind. So the whole music becomes more complex because it, as you say, it has it is a multifaceted form.
No. Perhaps not the only, but it seems to me the primary element here that we're dealing with is that of direction. Isn't this a basic thing here? That is, the classical concept of music is proceeding from one point to another point in a motion that has a specific direction. It's here replaced by the possibility of, so to speak, several directions.
That's right. I wanted to discuss this later on. What concerns the directions, you are right, Eric. You know that in America, since a few years, composers call such forms indeterminate forms, or forms which are produced by use of chance operations. Naturally, a chance operation is nothing else than an operation which creates a statistic complex. That is to say, you don't mind when a certain sound is coming at a certain time and in a certain point in space. You don't mind inside of a given field. And this field is described by a given process of writing. A specific paper with specific means of writing and so on. And what they call indeterminate means exactly what I would describe as the one extreme in my scale between the most determinate and the most multifaceted. That is, that the composer doesn't know exactly in the moment when he writes. The only one result, what concerns the sound result, in the moment when it is performed. Mm. But he knows that there are many possibilities, even possibilities which he doesn't imagine as an image when he writes it. So he starts a process, and that is the real, what we call, experimental way of composing. We discover instead of invent. Mm. If we invent, we foresee, and we have a very specific thing in mind as a musical object. And if we discover, we start a process, and we see what's coming about. And then we have the chance, as the word says, chance operation, to find something which is new. But as you know also, if you don't control it at all, or if you only go in one direction, you have also the chance to find the most ridiculous things and the most vulgar things which exist in the world, and you really don't need to make such an effort. And some of the composers are really honest enough to agree with that and take a tape recorder and record the things on the street and just show them to the listeners and say, now, this is the neorealism. We only want to attract your attention to the sound world in general, and we don't want to compose anymore.
Or we have silence and just listen to the sounds around us.
That's the same aspect. To say, I don't want to insist with my own ideas, but I just want to attract your attention to the sounds wherever they exist. And you know this whole aspect. I would say this is interesting for me again if it enlarges our concept which we have, because I never deal with dualistic thinking to replace an old by a new one. I think this is what we call mode. You see, like in Paris, when they change, yes,
fashion.
To think that something has to be replaced by something else, and that only the latest things are the valid ones. What I would say is, if we really can enlarge our concept of the world and our attitude towards the world, that between the most active way of listening and the passive way of listening, so between image and discovery, we compose really now a whole scale. And this interests me again. And in this moment, in such a form, I don't compose only multifaceted moments, but in such a form, like in the Cyclus which we play now as an example, you have moments which are completely determined, the color doesn't change at all, and you hear very precise events like accelerandos or ritardandos, which cannot be the result of a chance operation, because they go towards something and come from something, and if you change such attacks, everything is broken down. And the other extreme, that you have moments which are completely undirectional, which are ambiguous, where you have the feeling the colors could really be different. It doesn't matter in what order they are now, if there is first a cymbal and then a drum and then a vibraphone or the contrary, it doesn't matter. Instead of others where you have, for example, drum, vibraphone, cymbal, and then you go on to another timbre. That means I give a direction, and this can only be the result of the deterministic process. And I really compose, that's what I call composition, to mediate and to interrelate. I compose different degrees of determination, or we can also say of indeterminacy.
Since the two are inseparable and two aspects.
Exactly. You know that the mathematicians call the highest degree of what we normally call chaos, of a certain degree of order, or the contrary, on the other hand, they never accept the word order, but they only have degrees of disorder. Different degrees of disorder, and the absolute order they don't accept. Now, we give the example from Cyclus for one percussion player, and if possible, our listeners try to catch the different degrees of ambiguity or of multifaceted moments inside of this musical broadcast. The cycle for one percussion player has been played by Christoph Kaskel, yes, and written in 1959.
that was part of a recording of Zyklus of Karlheinz Stockhausen as performed by Christoph Kaskel. Now, this scale that you're talking about, this continuum, it seems to be very characteristic of your approach to the whole problem of musical form in contemporary musical development.
That's right. Up to now, we could say that I have mentioned two thoughts which are not my own. They came from the Viennese school in music, and they appeared anywhere in all fields of spiritual activity in this century. The first is equality of all the elements participating in one ensemble, and the other one is the mediation between any kind of extremes to get rid of dualism and to enlarge our whole concept of the world, at least to three-dimensional description. I mean that every object I see has three aspects at least, or to N system, so that we can enlarge any opposition to N degrees, and then that becomes white. It's one degree of white, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
By all the degrees of gray in between. And we understand that our concept of the traditional world is changing, which was always based, and this made so many difficult and very bad situations in human development based on dualism, which came basically from the Greek concept. So therefore, I say we would go on now from the variable form across the multifaceted form towards what I call the instantaneous form. Again, I'm not speaking about schemes, but about kinds of proceeding, ways of composing and what point groups complexity.
Could I ask you a question at this point? You've described these forms, as you call them, these forms as ways of composing. Are they also to you?
I would say there is no difference between a composer and a listener. I cannot do anything for a listener. I just make music, and then he has to do everything himself. And at least I am an entertainer. So we come now to the instantaneous form. What I want to say is the following, that up to now we have the concept in music of talking, telling a story. It comes from the Greek concept that you first make an exposition, you show the people who are in the game, and then they get troubled, they start to fight, or they love each other, they do something one to the other, then there is sometimes chaos, many are killed, and so on and so forth. And then, in the classical form, which came about in Europe, especially in the hierarchy, or in the feudalistic system, at the end everything had to become very nice, even if there was much trouble in between.
And resolution.
You have, yes, the resolution, and everything becomes very, very good, and what do? You make the recapitulation of the beginning, when nothing has happened. I must say, in the dramatic situations of the tragedy, it didn't happen. It only stopped when everybody was dead, or I don't know what. So
well,
I don't
there's only a resolution in that.
I don't only want to make fun of it, but this is the sonata form.
Mm.
The highly dualistic form, which is the drama. And in such a form, it is impossible to imagine something else than to have a very precise beginning of the world, of a given composition, and a very precise end. The piece is dying away. And if you listen to the music written in the 19th century, closer to our century, then you read even the scores more and more dying away, or becoming softer and softer,
morendo
and so on and so forth. I mean, they had really the whole process of life in mind, and it was a picture of the whole thought of the world, about the world, starting at a given point where everything is emerging from, going towards a high climax,
and then dying away. But our concept of the world has changed fundamentally. And we see the world more or less like an eternal process in which we are in constant transformation, and we don't really believe, as I say we now, I shouldn't speak in plurals maybe status, because many people still think the other, in the other system, but I would say I personally then, and many people I admire, I consider as being important, think the same, and then going through different climaxes and coming to a very definite end, to a fatal end even, you say fatal? Fatal.
Fatalistic and determined.
Fatalistic end, yes, where you cannot escape, but looking at it much more in an open concept, and to have also the concept of the world as an open one, not a closed system, but an instant. In such form, in such a music, has the same importance as all the other ones. And I think it is very bad, it was very bad for us, listening more and more to music where the things which happened at the instant, when just what is going on now, we always thought was the result of something what happened before, or was the reason of something what would happen in the future. And if I even meet people who think like that and who feel like that, I feel that they don't like the present anymore. They are only living in the past or in the future. But they have never time to listen to what is going on now. And they really don't like the sound. They only like the stories. And they really don't like the instant or the moment. But they always say, now I will see what he is doing with what is going on now. Or they say, oh, now I understand, he does it only because of, or he does it, he's making a relative world wherein everything is related only to the past or to the future, and the moment of the present is almost become zero. Therefore, I try to compose pieces, and that's very, very hard. Present, the force of present of the moment in which I'm in, so that I can, like through a transparent door, go through this kind of suspended time where time is no longer existing. And this is one of the oldest desires, not to make in music. The process is what is always a story which lasts its own time. Events, groups, shapes, figures, that I can say, oh, this is like what I heard before. Or this has the same interval, or the same pitches, or the same chord qualities, or the same timbres. So not comparing things by the exterior aspect, like you can compare people by this wearing the same cloth, has to be present so that I don't fall in a hole in things which are less important than us. And this is very difficult to obtain. You have to concentrate yourself really on the moment where you are composing on. It should be strong enough to consist in its own, but it shouldn't be too strong to destroy the other. And it seems to be utopian, but that's just what I am interested in. You see that what we call forms are much more general than it seems to be in the first moment, and we give for this last kind of instantaneous or moment form the last 7 minutes of the composition, which I wrote in 1960. It's called Curry, a piece for four orchestras and four choruses, which has been performed in Hamburg in a special hall, which I found, like it was the case for groups for three orchestras, and it has been conducted by four conductors, the orchestras, and chorus groups were against the walls, and the public was like in groups in the center, and different than we normally sit the public in rows. And the conductors of the Hamburg Radio Orchestra were Andrei Markovsky from four choruses and four